Log Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody to Optimize My Life. Yeah, Optimize My Life is such a cool opportunity. Why do I say that? Well, Optimize My Life is the membership site for the Hope Collection, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. And we have this show so that we can come together, people from across the country and around the world, that share hope. Like you would lunch, you'd share hope, you'd share lunch, you'd share hope. And how do you do that? Well, we have people who are reaching out into the world to make a difference for good, and they give people hope. And our slogan is to help others by helping them help others. So the Hope Collection's whole philosophy is to facilitate, to help, to encourage others to reach out to others and so forth, pay it forward, in other words, to help other people. And as they do that, there's a cycle of appreciation that's created. Hope has 8 areas that it supports programs in: faith, family, food, health and wellness, housing, energy, arts, and education. Those programs, when they come together, are synergistic. They're the core kind of elements of the core elements of life that in any community, in any school, team, family, that if those things are positive and growing and upscale and are synergistic, you begin to create a whole environment, a whole upscale situation that allows people to truly, truly lift up the quality of life for themselves, for those around them, and in the future for their generations to come, whether it's economic development or it's spiritual basis for growth or it's educational. I can think of so many examples in life where that has been the case and how exciting it is to see. When that happens, it's just so engaging. I was talking with somebody yesterday who is a doctor in psychology. And this lady, Dr. Fletcher, is a very dynamic lady, and she has a whole ministry, in effect, a whole outreach, where she works with mothers and daughters. And that could be of all age and descriptions, that they would come together, and she would help them grow as together to build their self-esteem, to build their self-concept, where it is they're going in life, how they work together, what it is they can accomplish, all of those kinds of tools. Well, as you might imagine, this lady is a faith-based lady, very strong in her faith and belief and so forth, and believes it's a calling to this outreach and so forth. So there's a, academic background with a doctorate and as a doctor in psychology and so forth. But then there's this faith-based background that helps take this to another level. It helps take her whole ministry, her whole outreach to another level. And therein is the, I don't want to say secret because it's no secret, therein is the catalyst, there is the creator of her success. So very, very dynamic, of many stories of impact and making in people's lives of from all different backgrounds, different situations, different sets of circumstances and so forth. And so the beauty of it is just that there's evidence. There's evidence of the power of making a difference in people's lives like this, of helping them help others. Well, as that plays out, there's the whole notion of, as well, of there's a whole notion of excitement that happens when you see that comes about, that cycle of appreciation. People begin to see it and they begin to feel that way. They begin to do it. I was talking with a man who was a veteran yesterday afternoon on as a veteran, of course, he has great passion for that whole population, and that their commitment in this world to make for a better world and to help shore up our peace and goodwill within this country and to help others at the same time. So as he was discussing what he wanted to do, he brought a map out and showed me 1,500 acres where he could build a assisted living type of thing, of housing, of a whole program to help handicapped veterans. He had these great ideas. He had a special kind of golf course he wanted to build. He had a dairy farm he wanted to put together, how he could help people, kind of what he called therapy, physical therapy. And I guess that he would have a good sense of that with many of his contemporaries, many of the people that he'd known through his life that were veterans, family members, and so forth, that this would play itself out. And that would be a dynamic outreach for, golly, all sorts of people. And it isn't just with the individuals themselves. It plays out across the board with their families. It plays out across the board in as those people bring on grandchildren, as they bring on great-grandchildren and work together. It's such a dynamic opportunity to play it out and see that happen. So I had quite a great day yesterday as my wife Ardith and I were traveled around a bit to meet with these folks and see their vision and what they wanted to do and how they might pull it off, how we might work with them to accomplish it. Empowering. When your head hits the pillow at night, you begin to, you're excited about the sleep, of course, but you're excited, too, about the next day and how it's going to play out in your life and in the world. And what can you do? What can you accomplish? You look forward to it. It was sort of funny. We were working on technology last evening and working on hotspots and so forth that we can put in our phone. And today, as I'm driving along talking to you, I've got my iPad on my lap that sets up the studio for the program. And then I have my phone in my hand, which my hotspot is on, that allows the computer to be running. And as a result, that's really exciting. I really look forward to it. As I'm driving along to meet some people over in Tampa, as we're in Orlando, heading over that way. So you talk about multitasking, got to have a sandwich too, you know. No, being facetious. It's great having hope and being able to share that, as I'll be doing tonight with a whole group of people over in Tampa, and people driving in from flying in from different parts of the country. Pretty exciting. So as we're making that a reality, I can't help but think how much fun that's going to be. There's no shortage of opportunity that we have in our hand. So as we move forward in each of the areas of our lives, I'm always running across working with people that are dynamic in in what they do and are connected with other people, because they too, in their outreach and their synergies, they're having this exciting kind of process come together that when I think about it, I go, wow, you know, so often people don't understand how, if you're really interested in making a difference, how it doesn't really, it's not impossible. It's very achievable, because people come together, and as one turns to five, turns to ten, turns to hundreds and thousands of people that begin to take action, begin to gather the resources, begin to think and create in ways that one by themselves couldn't necessarily do, but certainly could appreciate. And when that happens, that's really cool. I see a friend of mine, Derek. Are you listening to me on the call, Derek?
Yes, I am, Joel.
Look, we're Artis and I are headed over to Tampa right now.
Yep, I'm on my own.
And you can catch up with me after the 1 o'clock call and let me know if you're going to be around after 1 o'clock. And we can then see if you are going to be around for a little bit, how we could connect up.
I'm on my own, Joel.
You're already gone? You're already home in Tennessee?
I'm on my way home there now.
Oh, I see. I got you. Oh, you headed out early. All right. Well, you travel safely, and I guess we won't see each other again, but it sure was wonderful to see you, and look forward to many great days ahead.
I didn't think I was hated.
See you then.
Yep.
There we go. Are you functioning? I'm looking at my studio here and seeing if it is coming together. This is really one of those things reminded me of coaching years ago, coaching basketball, doing several things at the same time, as you must in that situation, be cognizant of a whole series of things. And whether it's the officials, or it's the players, it's people sitting on the bench in the stands, the time clock, all these things working together, all the memories you have of how to deal with this and how to deal with that, make this happen or make that happen. It's a really quite a dynamic opportunity to achieve and accomplish those things. So as we play out, has anybody else joined us? I guess not. Okay. Well, I think maybe this is going to be an abbreviated call today. It happens every once in a while that we have one of these abbreviated calls. I got chuckling about this, so I created a new blog, not radio show, but a new blog website that I can use. I'm going to be sending it out through our different sections and so forth, and I'm pretty excited about what it can accomplish there and so forth. I think I see some numbers coming on here, people coming on to say hello. Hey, Chris, I think that might be you.
Hey, Joel, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm multitasking as I'm talking to you, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm just juggling stuff here at the DMV for some title transfers for some model homes, and been a busy morning, but it's all good. Busy is good.
Oh, I thought maybe when you were talking about the DMV, you were in titles and so forth, you were getting cattle, the licenses for cattle.
So I wouldn't have to go to the DMV for that.
I see what you mean. You're not driving them.
No cattle drive here. They will be driven.
Oh, I
me.
See. In fact, I'm hoping that I'm going to see you here later on this today. That Artis and I
absolutely
are headed over because I have some information to you about some property, 1,500 acres.
Oh, sounds awesome.
Yeah, we really do. Up in your footprint up there, going up just kind of on the cusp there where the panhandle starts, just north of where you are.
Excellent. Okay.
Yep. It's and I think I'm certain you'll know, where I'm speaking of when I can show you and take you through it.
Oh, absolutely.
When you look at that, what kind of, if you're looking at perhaps in your mind, if you were going to acquire 1,500 acres, have you priced anything like that?
Some of the land that I've seen around here at those prices, I've seen a few that were at $2.5 million around that area. or around, not that area, but just north of here. So 2.5.
For 1,500 acres? For 1,500 acres?
15, yeah, or, well, hang on. I'd have to look back at my notes. I had them written down. I thought
okay.
It was right around that. I mean, I could be off a little bit.
Okay, well, I don't know. Just we'll talk about it, obviously, when we get together. And excited about that.
Absolutely.
I
believe you also might have some cards for me, maybe.
I might have some of those.
Oh, excellent.
Have you thought of or discussed, you guys thought about going up to Augusta? Did you say that to me one time?
Yes, we got the information, and she's just got to get the clearance from our boss. She's getting all the paperwork in order early on this week to where we can, if everything goes right, we plan on leaving tomorrow after work.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, we're driving up ourselves, and we have some great session up there. That's going to be a very, very dynamic opportunity to connect with a lot of people that across the board from numerous states, I don't know, 15, 20, 25 states that we're going to be working in with those and sharing. So they're in your whole vision and the vision of others that we can bring together for them can be mighty, mighty, mighty useful for them.
I'm trying to get the all the information from my guy, Ryan, who's helping me put this together. He said he's supposed to have it together by later this evening, if not early tomorrow morning, then he's going to email it over to me. So I'll have some more figures of cost startup and stuff like that I'll have as a visual. So if I have that in hand, I'll be bringing that up with me.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. That's terrific. I see, Chris, that Ted joined us.
Hello?
Ted, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Have another call?
That's
Hello?
Great. Well, multitasking, something you know a lot about.
Yeah, I do it every day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every day I have my iPad in my lap, my phone in my hand as I'm driving across Route 4 headed to Tampa.
Oh, okay. So you're multi-driving tasking. Okay.
Yes,
well,
and adjacent to my right hip is my sandwich and my energy drink. So as I'm driving across here, I'm not only you're doing all the things, but I'm getting healthier every second.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So yeah, you gotta cover the bases, you know.
Yeah, we have to.
Great stuff.
That's what I was doing all morning.
Yeah, I know that. No, I was sure you were. Me too. And
oh yeah.
So certainly lots going on. The I've been so enamored with when you were you've been talking at different times to me about the thing that you do with the culinary. We have a young friend of ours who daughter of kind of like a godchild for us that was on ended up coming up on one of those shows on TV, those chef
yes,
shows,
sir.
And she made it into the finals. I don't know if she won or not, but she's soon it'll be starting on TV, and she's part of the whole series and so forth, and I thought, gosh, there's some pretty good synergy here between these things. we could, as we start our, we'll be starting our own TV channel here very quickly, and we could create the same kind of competition sort of thing, or incentive type of thing, or however you want to talk about it, and do into the training program that you have.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. We can really do that, because I've been, you know, talking to different people. In fact, we have an event coming up here, which I was going to talk to you about how we're going to hang some banners up with the Hope Collection on them, which we're actually going to be at Mount Sinai Hospital. We're going to be at Mount Sinai Hospital, which this is an event we do each year. And what we do is we kind of introduce Westside Maine Can Cook, our healthy culinary arts, and how we're teaching people to cook and eat healthy, and inform them of all the different bad things and how they eat their food and a healthy way to cook. So this is our yearly, as they say, every year we do this. This year we've just added Rush Presbyterian, one of the larger hospitals. We've also added the VA hospital. So they're all going to be involved. They all have their booths out there. And this gives us an opportunity to give to introduce the Hope and what we're doing and our different partnerships. And I'm trying to get things set up where we can get a video so they can show what our urban gardening and all the new fantastic fields we're doing. So we're here in the fight, and we're making things happen. I think that's what's really important. You know, I'm more of a doer and less of a talker. So we'll be out there, and, you know, we get some video and we can send it in. And like you said, since you want to do a TV show or have that type of synergy going, people will be able to video and look and see our whole program and the guys that we have incubated through our different programs, especially the guys who are entering into culinary school and the guys who's got the food service license. Yes.
Well, no, I was just you're building the foundation for so many people. I think that it is so cool. Artist is sitting next to me, Ted. I just and she volunteered to mention, kind of explain what it is our young lady friend did, and here, listen to her. Listen to what she's got to say.
Cool.
Hi, Ed. This is a great example of doing what you, you know, giving it your best shot. And our friend is not isn't a schooled chef. She just enjoys cooking, and she saw an opportunity that they were actually auditioning for the Master Chef, which is one of the high-rated cook shows on Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And she decided that she was just going to give it a shot. You know, she had an opportunity and she made use of it. She really had no expectations, but she thought that it would be a good practice for her. So she ended up going, and they liked what she baked and chose her to participate in the show, and flew her out to California where they do the taping and everything. And it's an interesting story because she's one of five kids and the oldest, and she grew up with her mom cooking in the kitchen, and she just basically continued to do that when she got out of school. And so she made use of this opportunity, and here it was. They chose her to be on the show, and she made it all the way to the finals. And I thought it was very interesting. I spoke with her mother the other day, because actually they taped the show, so it will be showing here at the end of the month. But it was interesting because she said that her daughter took to heart the importance of really going forth and winning if possible, and took every opportunity she spare minute that she had to really study and kind of glean as much information as she could while she was there, and that wasn't the popular thing to do because the rest of the cast, so to speak, chose to do other things. And because of her persistence and consistence in keeping her goal in front of her, she did make it to the finals. But we don't know the outcome because, yeah, obviously she doesn't. They can't divulge that, of course, until the show has been out there for everyone to watch. They had to sign all these waivers and everything, so. It's a great example of, you know, going forth and just trying, you know, instead of, you know, letting the opportunity go by, that she made use of the opportunity, and because of that, she's better for it all the way around. Her experiences, she's been out to California, she never would have been there, you know, she had was going to have television exposure, and from what I understand, her presence on the air and everything was very positive, unlike some of those shows. So it'll be fun to watch her as she goes through it. Family flew out. They flew the family out and interviewed them, and they'll be on TV as well. So it's,
really?
It's really, yeah. So it's
that's really cool.
Looking forward to talking to her after the show so we could get the ins and outs of it all. So, but I thought it's really a great example because there are those opportunities that we let go by every day. And, you know, if she had let this go by and just said, oh, I'll never make it, if she had that negative attitude, then she, you know, would have missed out on all of this. So I think it's a great lesson for all of us. You know, she didn't really think she was qualified in the sense of having the schooling and everything, but she proved to be very capable and performed to the end. So that's the story about her. Yeah, so it's a good lesson for all of us, I think. So here's Joel.
Well,
sure. You know, what I thought is we'd bring her back as she comes back and get her into the TV show. Who knows? She could have her own show going like crazy.
Well, you know what?
You could tie in your all your gang.
Yeah, we can. I mean, because one thing that I've learned, you know, it's my personal credo that you must take the word "can't" out of your vocabulary. That's first of all.
Amen.
Because anytime you say "can't," you may say it, but you never know when you're at the final, when you can win the race, but because you decide to quit, it does something to you psychologically, which you can never afford to quit. And when you say can't, that word goes into your spirit, and you begin to feel that you cannot do something. What you cannot do is use the word can't. And this is something I always preach even to my kids. Never say what you can't do. Just say, I don't know, but I will try. And that's one of the key rules when it comes to being successful. You must use that word, I will, I can, and it shall happen. And as long as you use those words, those type of terminologies, you will be successful. And that's the key of being successful. Willing to take an opportunity, willing to take a chance, and not willing to limit yourself. And
yeah, you know, Dad, I think when you don't speak it into reality and you don't do that is when the person is taking the chance that life's just going to dump it out to them. And as they begin to claim it and see it and refine it and talk about it, it begins to become activity. It begins to become into a focused initiative that others can buy into, accept, want to begin to speak it themselves, and you begin to get into that the power of the word, in effect. And
right.
There certainly is power in those words.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like I mentioned, I would hate to leave here without living to my full potential and expectations in which God has planned. And that's why I run, and I'm so all over the place. I can lose cannon, and some people say, well, you fly from the seat of your pants. Well, at least I'm flying. How about that, pal?
Yeah. So they haven't gotten in the they haven't launched at all. In fact, I think, Burl, you're on the show with us as well. Are you not? Can you hear me? Didn't know if generally in the middle of a phone call or something or tied up doing something, but if Burl, if you're available, I'd love to have you come on and chit-chat with us.
Can you hear me, Dave?
Hey, Burl, so good to hear you. Yes, sir.
I've tried to cut in a couple of times, but for whatever reason, you can't hear me. No, you can. Good. I very much enjoyed last night's session. Your kids were terrific on that, with the combination of not only are we going to save you money, but we're going to give you a home-based business where you're going to make money. Your program gets better and better literally every day, if not every hour. It gets more exciting that I get hoarse having to explain it to so many people and get it out there. I desperately call for you to give me the weekly content for all of my media so I can keep sending it out to all my people, updating them every single week on all the things that you are doing, and they'll come to you with still further new things, and they'll join your program because they got to be an idiot not to.
There you
I want
go.
To rock and
oh,
roll
yeah.
night and day.
There you go, Burl.
Get it done.
I'm
with
you.
All right, I'm on another
well,
conference
sending
call
over
with our business. Money boys. Good boy.
Keep, I'll be getting
keep
it over.
Keep it coming, Jill.
You got it, kiddo. I will for sure. Thank you so much.
God bless you, baby. I'll hear you again tonight on the show. Good work, baby.
All righty. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You know, Ted, as Burl was talking about that, the whole ePantry network program has honed a group of smart shopper scenarios for people. Really, we're building members of Hope are turning into very smart shoppers. I mean, you think about, you have a banking background and understand the numbers and so forth. You think about if a person, what do you think the ROI is on this? That if a person puts, oh, let's say $500 in each month into their purchases, which is not a lot of money, but I'm just picking that as a number.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And because we put them in the supply chain with the thousands of suppliers we have, those suppliers have incorporated them into the supply chain so that they can buy at discount, just like the storefronts buy at discounts to resell.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say they save 30% on their own purchases, being able to buy directly from the supplier. So they're 30%. That's a pretty good return on investment. But
of course it is.
If and then if and monthly particularly, but then because they can, the suppliers encourage them to pay it forward to other people, friends, for example, military folks pass it forward to their friends and so forth. Nobody left behind. That kind of notion and so forth. Let's say that they helped directly or indirectly a couple hundred people. That would pay them, oh my goodness, that would give them probably a 20% return on $40,000, $50,000 a month.
That's
so
true.
Let's look at this. They've got, say, $350 in, which is 30% off the $500, and they're ending up getting a return of 30% plus 20. In other words, on what they purchased, they're getting 55% return on monthly. But then because they've helped other people, they're getting another 20% on $40,000 or $50,000. Well, right, that's going to generate, let's just say the people average five products a week or services. That'll pay out to them, about $200,000 a year.
Correct.
And it does. It pays out about $200,000. And if let's say 10 of the 200 people, just 10 of the 200 people that they've helped directly or indirectly chose to do the same thing, it would reimburse them over $1 million.
Yeah. True key of multi-level marketing.
Just for help. Really servant leader messaging is what it is, because the servant leader passes the message, and it's really fits into discipleship.
Right.
That it works exactly the same way. See, a lot of people don't really understand that whole world at all. In fact, most folks don't understand the free marketplace at all. They think that Bill Gates or some fat cat sitting on the top. Well, Gates makes less per hour than anybody that works there because he manages all the hours. If you divide all the hours that Microsoft puts together, you divide that into what Gates makes a year, he makes less than any employee hourly.
Exactly. And he does. And you're absolutely
correct. He's a servant.
This is where people, well, I'm glad you brought that point out. Being the head of your organization, your business, or anything, people don't realize that you have become a slave to your business because you have been given the fiduciary responsibilities of others. So there's days, and I'm sure anyone that has been in business and went through some lean times, understand that sometimes if you really care about your business, you care about your employees, you will take yourself off the payroll to make sure everyone else gets paid. And I can say that because I've done it. Okay? And you mentioned something that's very important, discipleship. When you have people that rely on you and depend on you, you cannot afford to give excuses come at the end of the week when it's time for these guys to get paid. So now, that goes back to my statement, we have to get people to understand to take the word can't out of their vocabulary and take the word quit out of their vocabulary. When they take those two words out of their vocabulary, then they're going to be successful. Because in order for you to be successful, you have to make other people successful as well. And that's what's really important. And that's how you do it. And that's one of the key ingredients that we have here at Westside Mink & Cook. I want everyone, every young man or young woman that comes through this program to be successful. And they must be successful. So we're not going to accept them not being successful. And so they understand that's part of our credos and our mission statement, that when you come here, you must be successful. You must be willing to help your brother or your sister become successful as well. And you have to come back and teach others how to be successful. And that sums it up. That's why I feel that our partnership with Hope was a dead-on situation. It was a bullseye from the first time we began to speak about Hope and different programs Hope has and the different programs we have. And we want you guys, like you're in Augusta, you guys are going to have to come to Chicago. And we have our gumbo gala cook-off coming this fall. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I think we might have lost Joel. Hello? Anybody there?
Hello?
Well, we had a little technology challenge here, and the phone went off. Ted was, I could hear him, but nobody else could hear me. So now we're back on live again, and I just wanted, I'll just wrap up here. The beauty is always, 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 that people are able to come and share and give information and play it out, pay it forward, to help other people. And the messages that came out today, whether it was from Chris or it was from Ted or whoever happened to be, Burl, the things that Burl said, all of these things. Artists talking about the lady, young lady in the competition in the kitchen, so to speak. It's all terrific stuff. You know, when you get news all the time that says everything is bad and there's a problem, everything's a problem, and everything's upside down and everything's bad and all these sort of things. The truth is there bad out there? Sure there is. It's not about that. But anything that anybody's going through, they can work through. They can grow into, their creator has designed them for an altogether different approach to life. And the more they surrender to that, the greater the likelihood that they'll move into a position that'll give hope to others and as a result, it'll give hope to them. I see Ted has joined us again. Ted, I was listening to you, and you, but you couldn't hear us saying hello back. our phones went upside down. And now I got to switch the button so that you can get back on. And now you're on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, well,
yeah,
you know,
we had a little technology.
Yeah, I know that's what happened. I said, that's why we have to get a whole studio. We can go inside of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And if we do it, actually, we have a studio through one of our partners, Mike Shulman, and it's actually the studio that was Johnny Carson's setup.
Oh, wow.
On TV, yes, and there's a green screen behind it, and Mike has it right in the center of his house. He had it put into his house, and we're going to be able to put that into our acquisitions as we move forward here. And have the Johnny Carson set right on our TV show.
There you go. There we go.
Yeah, that would be great. What I'd like to do is put that into one of the facilities we're acquiring and have it near the restaurants so that when people come and eat, they can eat and then go to the TV show, like a talk show.
There you go.
Wouldn't it be great? I mean, go on a date or bring some friends or family or whatever it is, and you're on business, you got your clients with you, and you go to a TV show after dinner. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, very. Well, that's called
Absolutely.
Having vision. That's called having a real vision. Because everyone wants to be on the TV. and you know
yeah.
what? They have more people there what? Because they can be on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, like, I watch that, you ever watch Good Morning America and you see all the people outside, or if you're in Chicago, you watch Channel 7 News and you see all the people because they moved their studios to State Street and Lake on the ground level, and you'll see all the people outside the window.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
You know, oh, yeah, Well, think of the number of people, I'll just use the Today Show, think of the number of people that have popped their head outside that door, outside that window over the course of weeks, months, years, and how many of them as a result of that go back and watch the show every morning and at the same time tell other people about their experience that causes them to want to watch the show as well.
Exactly. Another way of getting foot traffic and exposure. That's what it's all about, exposure. You know, you get the exposure, and the more people, and I'll tell you, a lot of people right now are just frustrated with not having a good radio show or talk show with substance. You know, the rest of them are just wasting time. And here we have something of substance to teach people how to be entrepreneurs, give people hope. And when they begin to understand, like you said yesterday, up with hope and down with dope, but how about we're making a new dope called hope? Because once they get onto it, it's addictive. So they're hooked. And that's what we want. And they understand it. They're hooked onto it. When you get people hooked onto it, I mean, it's hard to let it go. Think about it. You have,
you're 100% right. That's the cycle of appreciation. Now, Ted, some people are going to think we're hokey, but not true.
No. And you know what? That's the good thing about it. When they realize that these guys and that this organization, these are serious people, and what they're doing, they're standing behind everything they say they're doing. And when people begin to see that, people will say, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of it, or I want to get access to it. You know, if they're tapping to that main electrical system, and when they tap into it, that's what makes the difference. And people right now are so disenfranchised, they need so much hope. Please, if we could put hope and sell it and package it and sell it on the shelves, we'll, like soda and pop machines, we'd be sold out every day. We couldn't keep it in stock.
Yeah, you got that right. 100% correct.
I see it here. That's what we're doing with, CPO, you know, caring people outreach. We're having people become entrepreneurs and using it as incubators, getting them off the streets and selling the stuff. And now they're doing their own business. And they're saying, you know what? I like this a lot better. I don't have the cops beat me up. Now I have a reason to be outside. You know, and there's even some of the guys that we're starting up a workshop where we're going to start training some of these young guys to be good tradesmen. And how do we pour concrete and become bricklayers? You know, so that's part of one of the key things that's going on with our urban gardening. You know, since I've got to start, I said, why should we hire all these other guys who are tradesmen? And we have guys here who need an opportunity, who needs to get take advantage of, because like I told you, when I talk to a lot of these young guys, they're sitting on the street corners, they tell me all the time, you know, I don't want to be out here, but I don't have any hope. Hear the key word, I don't have any hope. I don't have an opportunity. And some of the guys that went to school and saying, hey, I can't get a job. Why is that? I've done it the right way. And so that's why I'm going through the, hey, we got to reprogram you first, pal. You know, if you remember the TV show, The $6 Million Man, they had to take the guy and rebuild him. We have to rebuild them mentally. We have to rebuild them spiritually. Because they don't get it.
Yeah.
They're disenfranchised.
Absolutely. That's what our whole coaching program is about, is changing normal. So many people look at their life as it is and say that's normal. And if you begin to, you can reprogram that thinking and reprogramming the activity and the outreach, the words, the association, and the dream, the vision. And pretty soon you begin to change normal in their life. And it becomes it changes everybody around them. They want to join in too. They jump on the bandwagon.
Of course they do. They don't have a choice. You know why? Because you think about it. You remember when you were a kid, you used to play the little game, you hit one guy on the shoulder and say, pass it on? Well, when you have hope, and you're giving people hope, it spreads like a wildfire. You know, you just hit the guy gets next to you and say, oh, I got hope, I need to come. So.
In fact, I'm finishing up a book entitled Everything I Needed to Know in life I've learned playing solitaire.
Okay.
And the whole notion of solitaire is that what you're talking about, a game you learn to play when you're a kid. When I was a kid on the parks, it was kind of like a babysitter for me, and there was supervisors there and older kids, and a lot of those kids would be playing solitaire. And
right.
So I'd watch them, and then I talked to my older brother, and he kind of told me how it worked, and I got an old deck of cards that somebody left on a picnic table, and I started shuffling it, got it right, so I started learning to play solitaire, and out of that, I started realizing, you know, at first it was just the fun of shuffling and you know, and dealing the cards and looking at them and trying to explore it and then make sure I did the rules right and did all that kind of stuff. And then the feeling victorious when you finally you deal them and get them all to turn over and empty out all the ones that are turned over, and jolly, all of a sudden you've redone it and you won. You got all the cards in line. And how exciting that was and so forth. And you know what happened over time is that I began to realize there was a whole line of reasoning, the whole set of thoughts and rules that were tied into that game. And even though I was playing the game alone, I was playing with the creator's rules.
That's correct.
So I was never alone. I was always playing with the creator of the game.
That's right.
And that whole metaphor grew into understanding that in my life, I was living a life not alone. I was living a life with the creator of life.
That's right.
And that's the whole point of this book. And it keeps growing, you know. I continually meet new people and know that it wasn't me that met the people as much as that God directed them into my life. Bardis and I had a great experience like that yesterday, just like you and I meeting. What's the odds of that? Or Burl and I met years ago. It's about 15 to 20 removed from each other, you know, levels of separation.
Mm-hmm.
The likelihood that you and I have met, same deal. It's a life changer when we understand that God's got a plan and we're playing it with Him and playing the game that He created.
That's true. That is so true. Paul, that's true. You know, I say that quite often, that I don't feel that you met anyone or anyone come in your life by accident or coincidence. You know, The book has already been set. We just have to submit ourselves and humble ourselves enough to follow the rules when it happens. But we're so busy, if we can learn how to take self out of the equation, uh-oh, I'm starting to preach to you, and we'd be cool.
it is a hoot. People, you know, we're so taught to be the captain of the rowboat and all of these sort of things that really surrender, which is a word that nobody wants to live up to, you know, the devil just cuts that word out there. You got to surrender? Yeah, I'll surrender. I'll surrender, not to you, devil, but I'll surrender to the creator, no question.
It's
a fight.
Of course. Well, you know what? It's really not a fight. It's really not a fight, and I'm going to tell you why it's not a fight. Because how can you have a fight with a guy that you know you can beat already?
Yeah, but there's an old saying that says if there is no enemy, E-N-E-M-Y, in me, I-N-M-E, if there is no enemy in me, the enemy outside of me can do us no harm, even though Joel's been playing with himself. I mean, playing solitaire.
There you go.
There's no way that he can ever lose. What he's telling us is he's never lost. He always wins or he learns.
That's correct.
So, again, that's a wonderful metaphor, Joe, and I love that hidden mystery behind that game solitaire, Joe. I think that would be a fabulous, fabulous story.
Oh, it's funny. You know, I've been working on the book over quite a long time, the metaphor and the symbolism and all the things that happen in life that that really are screaming to us, surrender, surrender to the Maker, and the power is in the Spirit, that the more we do that, the more in line you are with the victory. And so you're constantly, as you say, you're constantly learning about victory. And it's beautiful. It's so fun. You wake up every day and you got another shot at it.
There you go. There you go. Or you realize,
Brad,
that you've already won the game before you got started.
Brad, are any
yes,
of you guys going to make it? I think Jerry's going to make it down to Augusta. I would love to connect with you and Reg if you guys are around.
Oh, yeah, me and Reggie and Terrell, Dr. Brown are coming down. I'll talk to you after the show because I need to know. I got a couple more people. Johnny Eagle has a headquarters up for what we need to do if we got a couple people we need to get on,
yeah,
on the roster. But we'll definitely.
That'll be great. Great. We'll connect. I appreciate it. I think we're done for today, guys. God bless. Have a great one. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah,
okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. Bye-bye.